on Friday evening in this place, we remembered the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday. But today, we remember his resurrection on Easter Sunday. The two go together, and they cannot be separated. We serve a Savior who loved us and died for us and rose again from the dead. We do not serve a dead Savior, but a risen Lord and Savior. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the great hymn, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." And in the final verse, we are reminded that not only can we face tomorrow because of the death and resurrection of Christ, we can face our death as well. We can have hope that death is not the end of all things, but it's only the beginning of our eternity with Christ, and we too shall rise from the dead. That hymn is based upon the verse we're looking at this morning, where Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Please open with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John 14 is recording the upper room discourse on the Thursday night before Jesus died. He had instituted the Lord's Supper with his apostles. He had celebrated Passover. Judas had gone out to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Then in verses 1 and 27, we find the apostles were worried and afraid. Jesus says that he's going to be leaving them soon, and they feel like little lonely children, already feeling homesick for Jesus. But he says in verse 18 that he won't leave them as orphans. In fact, in verses 16 and 17, he says, "I'll send the Holy Spirit to be with you." And that brings us to the great verse this morning. Verse 19, he says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." And he gave them that short promise of 7 words to encourage them and to encourage us. Because sometimes we feel like those apostles, lonely, afraid, but there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus gives us this comforting promise. He will rise, and therefore so shall we. And then after he said this, he said a few more things, led them out to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed and was arrested, and then went on trial, first before the Jewish leaders and then the Romans. He was condemned, though he was innocent. And then on that Good Friday, he was crucified for us, guilty sinners. And then he rose again from the dead, and then later he appeared to his people, and then later went back to heaven. He went to the cross just as he said he would, and he rose from the dead just as he had promised. And then he went back up to heaven, and he will return again as he promised. We are situated between his first and his second coming. Think of that. He promised that he would die, and he did. He promised that he will come back again, and he will. We are also personally situated between our birth and our death. We are waiting. Just like we are waiting for his second coming, we are patiently waiting and trusting. And like Job, we wonder, if a man dies, shall he rise again? Will he live again, or is death simply the end? Is there life after death? And according to the Bible, and confirmed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can say assuredly, death is not the end. There is life after death, and there is a special life after death for those that believe in Jesus. God promises physical resurrection and eternal life for all of those that believe in Jesus. God promises it to all of his people. In the Old Testament, God had promised to send a Savior. And God kept that promise. Jesus came. And Jesus predicted that he would die. And he kept that promise as well. And yet his believers forgot that. After he died, they were forlorn. All their hopes were crushed. Why? Because they did not remember the promise. But Jesus also promised that he would rise again. But they forgot that as well. But he did keep his promise. Jesus has never made a promise that he did not keep. God cannot lie. God has never made a promise and broken it, unlike us. Oh, we make promises, but they're more like wishes. Oh, we vow to do something, but we don't always keep it. God does. God always keeps his vows, his promises, his covenants, his predictions. And so Jesus Christ did die as promised and rose again as he had promised. But then Jesus also promised in this verse that he would raise his people from the dead. And just as he assuredly he rose, he will raise us from the dead one day. His promises always come to pass. For example, Christ promises to save us from our sins if we believe in him. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." There has never been a man or a woman or a boy and girl in human history that has put that promise to the test and found it not to be true. All of those that have ever believed in Jesus Christ have been saved from all of their sins. And then there's another promise. Acts 10:43 says, "To him all the prophets bear witness that those that believe in him shall receive forgiveness of sins." And the Bible is filled with such promises. Because he died, we can be saved. Because he died, we can be forgiven. And because he rose, we will rise again. Now, believers will go to heaven the moment that they die. All of us will die unless we live to see the second coming, but the chances are that we will die before then. Young or old, eventually we will die. But the great promise is that we will go to heaven. There's no purgatory, there is no soul sleep. There is no period where we have to wait sort of in a unconscious state. No. The moment a Christian dies, he goes to be with the Lord. As Paul says in Philippians 1, far better. There's no interval. We're immediately in heaven. And that's wonderful. But our bodies are still back on earth. Whether they've been buried or cremated or lost at sea. And so some people say, well, what happens in that interval between our death and our resurrection? What happens? Well, our souls are wide awake in heaven, but our bodies are still in the grave. And unless we receive our bodies back again one day, we will not fully enjoy heaven. Now, this is not to say that in the intermediate time we're mourning or we're sad. No, no, no. In that intermediate time between our death and our resurrection, there is great joy and love in the presence of God. We see God. But again, we are still waiting. Just like here on earth, we are awaiting our home going to heaven. We're awaiting the second coming. Those that are in heaven are waiting for the resurrection. And so that when we are raised, you could put it like this, heaven will be even better. It's great now for those that are there. It will be even better when we get our bodies. It will be the difference between having one eye and two eyes. Or seeing things now in black and white. One day in a resurrection body, we see things in color. It will be even better. And that's why Christ promises to raise us from the dead. It's like this. God has created us with a body and a soul. Our body, we touch things. We can touch other people. We see, we smell, we taste. We have these five senses. We have a physical body. But we also have a soul, a spirit that's, as it were, inside of our body, kind of like a hand in the glove, and the hand moves the glove. God has created us with these two parts, and they are a unity, like two sides of the coin, or like in German we would say, it is a gestalt, it is a unity. That's what we are. God created us body and soul. But think of the difference here. We are a body, in a soul inside of a body. We're different than the angels. Oh, they have a soul, but they don't have bodies. But on the other hand, we're different from animals. They have a body, but they don't have a soul. We're kind of in between the angels and the animals. We have a body and a soul. But as we all know, the time will come when we will die. And that's when the soul inside the body leaves the body, and the body dies. It will be buried, and it begins to disintegrate. But the soul is wide awake, and if it's a Christian, it goes to heaven to enjoy bliss and holiness with God. This is what happens at death. The soul leaves the body. Genesis 35:18 records the death of Rachel, the wife of Jacob, and it says, "So it was as her soul was departing, for she died." James 2 says that the body without the soul is dead. That's what happens in the mystery of death. That's what will happen to us one day. Others have died. The time will come for us to die. And on Good Friday, the time came for Jesus to die. You remember his last words? "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And all four gospel writers said, having said this, he cried out and gave up his spirit. His spirit left his body. And his body was there lifeless on the cross. And they buried it. But his soul, his spirit was wide awake. He gave up the spirit on Friday, but the spirit returned to his body on Easter Sunday. That's exactly what happened on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The spirit left, and then on Easter Sunday, it went right back in, kind of like the hand left the glove, and now it's back in it, and it's moving. It's alive. Jesus was alive. The spirit went right back into the body. But another miracle happened in the resurrection. When Jesus rose, it wasn't exactly the same body on the cross. It was still physical, but it was no longer weak. It was no longer bleeding. The Bible says he rose in strength and in power. What's more, and in a glorified body, immortal, no longer able to suffer pain or death. So he arose again. And God promises to reunite our soul and body. Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." He arose in a glorified body, and the same will happen to all believers. You see, brethren, in salvation, God gives us more than simply forgiveness and love and justification in heaven. All of those are wonderful spiritual blessings. But remember, we are body and soul. So he not only saves our soul and renews it and forgives it, he does something with the body as well. He saves both parts of us, body and soul. Think of it, a new body. And it will be better than the body that we die in, just like Christ's body that he rose in was greater than the body he died in. Think of it. It'll be better than what we die in. The Bible says we die in weakness, but we're raised in strength. What's more, if you want to get theological about it, we rise in a better body than what Adam and Eve had before they sinned. Now think about it. They had bodies that had no pain, no death, no sickness. Nobody sneezed in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. There was no disease, no pain. But then when they sinned, they brought in death to their souls and to their bodies, and later their bodies died. When we rise from the dead, we get bodies better than what they had, even though they had no sin or death. Why? Because the second Adam, Jesus, brings in something greater than what even the first Adam had and lost. We get a new body. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Someone asked me about this just this last week, and I directed him to Philippians chapter 3. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. We will get bodies like what he had when he rose from the dead. Look at Philippians 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He died, and he rose in an immortal body. We will die, and we will be raised in an immortal body. Read 1 Corinthians 15. We will have bodies incapable of pain, only capable of pleasure, aglow with the glory of God, immortal, and so many other things to conform to his body. Do you see the relationship in this verse? Because he rose, we will rise in the same kind of body. Now someone will raise this question. Well, isn't heaven after death enough for us, even without a body? After all, the angels are enjoying heaven. They don't have bodies. Good question. But it overlooks something. In saving us, God doesn't make us angels. The Bible says we were created lower than the angels, but in salvation, we are exalted and promoted to be higher than the angels. And so God created us with a body. Temporarily after death, we are without the body. But one day he will raise us in the body and thereby elevate us higher than the angels. Our body is special to us. It is us. This is me. Your body. Look at your hands, your fingerprints, your blood type. Those are all unique markers of identification. That's you. Our body is special to us. We care for it. We don't like pain. And so we would grieve if we lose a leg or lose an eye. Our body is special to us. And when a husband and wife are married, their spouse's body is precious to them. Your parents, your children's body is special to you. You want to take care of it. You feel a pain when you see that little baby cry. Your children, your parents' body is special to you. And this becomes very starkly aware to us when a loved one dies. As a pastor, I've led funerals, and often there'll be the open casket, and immediate family will come by, and they'll preciously just touch that loved one. I've seen grown men lift up their mother and kiss her. The body is still precious to us. Even though we know their soul is gone, the body is precious. Our body is precious to us. The body of our loved ones is precious to us. How much more precious to God is our body? He loves our bodies, not just our souls. Therefore, when he saves us, brethren, it's not just our souls. He's guaranteed to save our bodies. You could put it like this. God loves us too much to leave our body in the grave and simply take our souls to heaven. He saves our whole being, our soul and our body. And that complete salvation is due to the death and resurrection of Christ. We live because he died. And we will rise because he rose as well. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Imagine if God only saved our body but not our soul. Half is not enough. That would be a half salvation. Imagine if God only saved our soul, but not our body. What if he said, I'm going to save your soul, but you will continue to live in the same body you have now? My response would be, ugh, who wants this forever and ever? Yes, it's precious to me, but I feel pain. I get diseases. I will die. Who wants to live in a mortal, sin-infested body forever? Even if your soul has been saved, that would be only a half a blessing. Or, what if he raised up our bodies to be what they were before death, or just like what Adam had beforehand? No, let's turn that around. Imagine spending eternity with a holy soul in a painful, weak body. That's just not right. Well, what if God gave you a perfect body, but an imperfect soul? God guarantees complete salvation, body and soul. Christ died and rose not only for our salvation, but for our resurrection. Just like there is no salvation without Christ, there is no resurrection without him. Resurrection is, as it were, the seal and the completion of our complete salvation. Just like salvation would not be complete if Jesus only died but not rose, our salvation would not be complete if he only forgave us but did not raise us from the dead. Resurrection is part of the complete salvation. Again, look at the verse. Because I live, you will live also. His resurrection is the cause. It is the because. Because he lives, we will live also. It's like the locomotive that pulls the train and it has various cars behind it. And they do not pull themselves, they are being pulled. Christ is, as it were, the locomotive, and he pulls the cars of forgiveness, justification, and so forth, and resurrection. He doesn't leave that out. Because I live, you will live also. If Christ did not rise, we could not be saved. Nor could we rise again. Death would win, but Jesus rose. And 1 Corinthians 15 unites his resurrection and ours. They are inseparable, dear brethren. That's why I again repeat, Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. If he rose and did not raise us up, it would be an incomplete resurrection for him. He is the head, we are the body, as it were. It is a complete resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 unites both of these. Because some people then were questioning the relationship. Some were thinking, well, Jesus rose, yes, but that doesn't mean we will rise. And Paul says, no. Because he rose, we will rise. Perhaps someone said, maybe it's the other way around. We will rise, but maybe Jesus didn't. Or others that are total unbelievers then and now will say, well, neither Christ nor us will ever rise. That's why God inspired that chapter to say Christ arose and therefore believers will rise also. There's an inseparable association between the two. It's the guarantee that we will rise. Just like Christ gave us the guarantee that our souls will never die again. You say, where's that promise? John chapter 11, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. But then he also said, and he that believes in me shall never die. How? When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our souls are regenerated. It is a spiritual resurrection. Our souls will never, ever die again. They've already been granted that immortality. And later the body will be given immortality as well. So our souls will never die again. And one day neither will our resurrection bodies die again. They're immortal. Revelation 21:4 says there shall be no more death. We will never die again. We will rise again in perfect, immortal, eternal bodies. Now again, some will say, well, just the happiness of forgiveness in this life is enough. No. I have heard people say in their somewhat naivety, well, just the joy and love that I'm experiencing as a Christian, even if there's no life after death, this is enough. No, it's not enough. Because if you had joy and forgiveness now, you're still looking forward to the grave. How could you sleep at night? You would still be haunted that what you're experiencing now is only temporary. We would have the fear of death. But Jesus rose to conquer the fear of death by giving us the assurance of life and resurrection. So heaven without resurrection would only be half a heaven, as it were. Christ promised to rise again, brethren, and he did. And by the same standard, he promises to raise up all of his believers one day. He kept the first promise. He will most assuredly keep the second promise. He will raise us from the dead. And brethren, this is what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Amen. and amen. Shall we pray? Our God and our Savior, we thank you that you've kept all of your promises, and you will most assuredly keep this one, that because Jesus arose, we will rise also by his power. Thank you for his resurrection, and we look forward to ours as well. In the name of the resurrected Christ, we pray. Amen.